Let us continue. We are about maybe 25, anywhere from 25 to 30% through the entire discourse at this point. Of course, I'm still writing, so maybe I shouldn't say that. Amen. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, which is our base scripture, as we continue the discourse, the glorious body of Christ, or the church. Amen. Oh, we should be so impressed with what God has done. And the only way you're not impressed is that you don't have the enlightenment and the elucidation. Mm-hmm. You don't have the understanding of what God has so graciously provided for you.
That's right.
Amen. Not only should you be impressed, but our hearts should just be elated.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, He must have surely loved us. He must have dearly loved us.
Yeah.
All right, in the third chapter, verse 26 through 29, is Elder Liberman shall be our designated reader, and we will move into a base exegesis and dissertation. This morning shall be in the 2 Corinthians chapter 5, mm-hmm. verse 16, and I think we had moved into verse 17 when time expired last week. I don't ever like to use the term quit, because when you quit, that means you're through with the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So as time expired last week, this is where we are. But always to bring everything into context, we begin with the reading from Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Yeah.
All right, read.
Verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Isn't that a blessing? Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. It said by faith. By the faithfulness of Christ Jesus, we are children of God. It had nothing to do with us.
Thank God.
Amen. Nothing that we contributed.
Yeah.
All right, I better not get going there because, amen. Verse 27.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ.
For those who have been placed into Christ in eternity and identified in Christ's time. Read.
Have put on Christ.
These are the ones who are in Christ. Amen. Read.
Verse 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek.
Mm-hmm.
There's neither bond nor free.
Mm-hmm.
There's neither male and female.
Uh-huh.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen. I know that sometimes we have divisions among us in our actions, but we're all one.
Thank you.
Even though we fall out sometimes, we're all one.
Absolutely. That's it. Amen. Absolutely.
Amen. Even though it looks like we're pulling in different directions at times, we're all one. Isn't that something?
Thank you.
Now, that's not to our credit, that's to God's credit.
Yes.
Amen. All right, finish it up.
For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ,
and those who are in Christ,
then are ye Abraham's seed.
Then we are Abraham's seed,
and heirs according to the promise.
According to the promise of justification by faith, we went through that, and that's well documented. All right, let's move now to the area that we shall expositorily. Dwell in this morning. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Amen. Here we get a glimpse into what the church is by nature, by the true church we're talking about. We're not talking about the organization. Here we're talking about the organism, what it really is. What are the components of the organism, the body of Christ, the true church, the church. Amen. All right, read that. That's verse 16 and 17. Everybody got it? Say amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh.
Here he draws a conclusion based upon the antecedent verses or the prior verses of what had been conveyed there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. This is valuable information.
Amen.
Because there are many that they have no, there's no conception of just what we are involved in.
Right.
You know, we look around and we see the organizational aspect of what is manifested in time and on earth, and many times that can be downright discouraging, what we see, because of the way we act sometimes.
Yes.
The things that men do.
Mm-hmm.
But here this verse is seeking to focus us, to get us focused in on the real church, on what God did in eternity.
Yes.
What God in this? Yes, we're stuck in eternity. It is from the eternal vantage point that we view things. Amen.
Yes.
You get a clear view, and God has allowed us to see some things as He has actualized them.
Yes.
Amen. Not the blurred view of what things seem like when we many times look at them from the vantage point of time.
Yes.
Amen. This is Bible information. Information, don't you know that patriarchs, past, and prophets, past, they would trade places with you to know these things that we know today.
Yes.
To have this valuable information, and it is ignored. It is not from this passage that the preaching is transpiring. It's coming from.
That's right.
You know, we're back there. We're talking about things that are written from the vantage point of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. The thinking is that the premise is that the flesh can more identify with it. But that's not what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about identifying with things from the flesh.
Amen.
From the natural standpoint of things, the child of God has a unique privilege, to gaze into the spiritual unseen.
Glory.
Even back, my God, before creation, to the time when God all alone is doing beautiful and wonderful and great things.
Thank God.
And if you're able to see this, then you can really sing the song, "He keep on doing great things for me."
Thank
Amen. Most times when that is being sung, they're thinking about some physical blessing.
That's
great.
Yeah.
But oh my God, He has done so much more for us that transcends all of this.
Yeah,
all right. Elder, read those two verses.
Verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more.
Now, here he is not negating what Jesus Christ did in the flesh. He's not. He's not downplaying that. Amen.
Right.
But again, God, amen, has given us entrance into light, where we can view him as more than the one who fed the 5,000 And who arose from his sleep and told the wind and the elements to be still, settle down. The one who healed the leprosy and healed the blind, and who even raised the dead. And of course these things are great and they are wonderful. Amen. But what Paul is saying is that we have a more detailed picture of his eternal works. Amen. When we're able to view him more, than the earthly manifestation of what is recorded, because here to the light of the mystery, we're able to view him as head of the body of Christ.
Oh, yes. Thank God. Amen.
All right. Verse 17. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ,
if any man is in Christ,
he is a new creation.
He is a new creation.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
The old is passed away.
Thank Hallelujah.
Let's here begin. And those that want to follow along, we're on page 9 of our document, and we might say to those who may listen to the audio section on the website that the document, the body of the glorious body of Christ, the church, is now on the web. You may pull it down. There's an icon in that section. You may hit the icon and it comes right up, or you may go to the section that we now titled Doctrinal Discourses, mm-hmm. and you will see among the expositions in that area, this document, hit the icon and it comes right up, and we're on page 9. All right, amen. I know that maybe this is not the way they view preaching to be done. And some say, I can't tell the difference between your preaching and your teaching. Good. I like that. Amen. All right. On page 9, as we begin here, the translation from the Greek text, follow me now. Therefore, if anyone in Christ, a new creation, or if anyone is in Christ, he is, for the sake of smooth flow of thought, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old passed away. Behold, the new has and is come. The new has and is come. Here we have the perfect tense, which is a past completed action with current or continuous effects. Mm-hmm. Again, note the coordinating conjunction oste, rendered therefore, thus, as a consequent and result of what has been previously stated. Here Paul is true to his policy of never vouching for or against anyone's salvation status. Right. That's certainly a good advice for all of us.
Amen.
Here he uses the subordinating conjunction e rendered if. So he says if only in distinguishing those who are in Christ. So you can substitute and say those who are in Christ.
Yes.
And leave the Holy Spirit, leave it to the Holy Spirit to determine who those are, who they are. All right. Observe here the Greek phrase in Christo. We've said many times in Christ, the locative case denoting in the sphere of, as it refers to our position in the body of Christ, and Paul uses that numerous times. We've gone over that. Mm-hmm. Now, thus, to be in Christ implies that those who are redeemed through the blood of Christ are called in this present dispensation. These are the ones that are occupying a position in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Now, in light of noting that those who are in Christ are doing this dispensation of grace in the body of Christ are new creations, we focus on the next phrase. On the next phrase, we look at the Greek word kritēsis, rendered creation, as it is used in the New Testament many times. Just the word itself, it depicts God's work in creation. But in this sense, when we look at the expression kēni kritēsis, translated a new creation, it indicates that God sovereignly designed certain ones, a designated ones, in eternity, in Christ, according to the predestination of his glorious body to be manifested and exist in time. Oh, this is wonderful information. But you know, if you're not talking about something that I can reach out and touch, taste, something that I can visibly see or connect with, it doesn't click. And no, this isn't designed to click with the flesh.
All right,
amen.
All right,
this is received by and through the Spirit. You know, as the Spirit of God communicates to our awakened, quickened, alive spirits.
Yeah.
Amen. So this goes spirit to spirit. Amen. And so if you're not in the Spirit, you won't receive this. Amen. This won't mean too much to you. In fact, this would be boring to you. And many don't preach it and teach it because they're more afraid of being boring than they are of being truthful. Amen. Oh, my God. But this new creation is not, as we said last week, comprised of the outward physical divergence of reformed humanity, but the inward spiritual composition of the nature of Christ. And we must understand that. Because we look at, Grace Gospel Church is a great church, but sometimes we don't do the right thing. Sometimes we don't act right. Sometimes we don't really properly represent what's going on and what has gone on and what has happened in eternity. And that's not just Grace Gospel Church. It's all organized bodies of men. What the pastor is laboring to do is to get us to focus on the church, on the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. You want to see something that's working right, and every iota of every component part of it is in place, you look at the church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
But not the visible organization, but look through the eyes of faith and look through, amen, the faculties of the Spirit into the essence of what God designed in eternity.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to see something beautiful. You want to see something, oh my God, you want to see something great? Amen.
Yeah.
Take your eyes off of your brother.
Yeah.
Take your eyes off of yourself.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And look and see, amen, the glorious work of God. Now, in this vein, the body of Christ denotes a more tender, close union between the head, that is Christ, and the body, the church, as the implication, certainly, if all is going right, that means its support is from him, its strength is from him, its character is from him, its nature is it's from him. Amen. We have no input into it. And it further conveys that we shall be partakers of his fullness, and we shall share in his felicity, his happiness, and his glory.
Yes.
So the scope of Paul's cogitation, or the scope of Paul's thought, in the usage of this conjunction, oste, therefore, infers that anyone is a new creation who is in Christ. Amen. Which basically, this is what the body of believers entails. Amen. So, if you are a believer this morning, as a result of the fact that you were called and chosen and placed into the body of Christ, you are a new creation. Now, as we said last week, as of ourselves, we're not new. I mean, physically, physically, amen, the same hand, same feet. If we were moral, it doesn't matter as far as the body is concerned, amen, because basically, if you really boils down to it, it wasn't the fact of God saving good people or righteous people.
Oh, no.
Amen. Because there were none around for him to save.
Oh, no.
And anyway, according to the law, if you were righteous, if you were innately righteous, then he is obligated to declare you as such. But there could be none found. All have sinned. All fall short of the glory of God. So, whether one is moral or immoral, as perceived by men, infidels or speculative believers, whether one was admirable or debased, sensual, polluted, these are at best only outward manifestation of the demonstrative contrast between the conduct that of individuals. But it does not depict what the essence of the body is, and that is the constituents of the transition itself. In other words, changes in views and attitudes are byproducts, they're not the essence of what the new creation depicts. Thus, the new man, and here again, Ephesians 4:24 and Colossians 3:10, he's conveyed as more than just a moral change of habits and behaviors from the old human creature. The primary idea is not what one ought to live as, nor is it limited to what one ought to be, which we gave to last week, and both of these certainly to be desired, and they are correct and desirable, but it is in fact what one is what we are.
Hallelujah.
What he has made us to be continually in Christ that counts. In essence, the new man possesses the nature of Christ, which serves as a motivator to conduct oneself, and this is the lesson that we really want to bring home to us. You see, making a bunch of rules and taking the law as a hammer to hammer us over the head is not going to, that's not going to get it.
No.
Amen. You know, as a pastor, sometimes I desire to see God's people do certain things, and of course the older pastor said, well, you have to call them in and get on their case. I'm just so reluctant. I mean, you know, all of this great information that we have here. I mean, if this doesn't move you, amen. If this doesn't stir you, if this doesn't get your spiritual adrenaline arising, all of the hammering and all of the tactics of trying to coerce someone either by some threat either many of them they used humanistic gimmicks. I call them, amen, you know, member of the month. You know, and I've said, and I mean it here, we're not going to have no members of the month here. He said, how many came the most times? And how many gave the most? And you know, that's not worth coming. That don't get it.
No.
You, don't. In fact, if that's the only way you're going to serve the Lord, keep it. I mean, sit on it.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't. If you, amen, can sit under the Word of God, mm-hmm. and you can see, amen, the information that was hidden from ages, that even the patriarchs and the prophets and the disciples didn't know it, and they're available to you today. If you can glimpse this, and it doesn't move you and doesn't shake you, amen, then I don't know what can.
That's right.
So this will continue to be our methodology here.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. So what is conveyed here is the essence of what it means to be in Christ. The new man. He possesses the nature of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Which serves as a motivator to conduct oneself according to what is in him.
Mm-hmm.
It is in this sense that we must differentiate spiritual from physical creation.
Mm-hmm.
When we generally think of creation, we mostly focus on its act in the natural application of capacity of the entire universe
mm-hmm.
and mankind in the earthly sphere. But the new creation,
mm-hmm.
it is equivalent to the expression, the new man, who according to God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Amen. As conveyed by Ephesians 4:24. This depicts a substantive change in the vein of the spiritual nature, which is produced by the righteousness of Christ.
Yes.
Thus this change is indicative of one who is totally new in nature.
Oh.
And he doesn't resemble the old.
No.
Not in nature,
no.
Not in essence.
No.
Amen. Because you are talking about two different entities. You're talking about physical on one hand, amen, but the focus is on the spiritual, amen. And the physical does not resemble the spiritual. In this view, follow me now. The glorified body has no influence of the flesh, the body. In essence, new creation denotes an eternal spiritual entity. And I know I'm going back over some of these, amen, teaching this 90% repetition. This spiritual entity has been extricated from depraved humanity. In this sense, one cannot view the new man in the pattern of the transformation of the flesh, but rather the resurrection of that which was dead. And the mode and method in which it is done is not disclosed to human intellect. As the process conveyed is at best figurative in the language just of men. Accordingly, when we look at the phrase new creation in evidence, it delineates the following, and we gave this to you last week. We go back over it again. Number one, there's an inversion of divine power in the conversion of the depraved sinner, as realistic as in the act of creating the world out of nothing. This is indispensable in the spiritual realm as contrasted to the physical. Number two, that a change is produced so great as to make it proper to say that one is indeed new. Amen. Yet the inference is more than new views and new motives, new principles, new objects, and new plans for this life. For instance, if the drunken reforms of the licentious become virtuous, there's impropriety in saying that one is a new creation on this basis. Even though such one may be not considered, that is, the same person that they previously represented. Number three, that in the conversion of a sinner, there's a complete change in nature from the abyss of depravity to the quintessence of righteousness. This transformation changed so deep, so entire, and abiding that it is proper to classify such as an hereunto before unrevealed creation of God, work of the divine power, as determined and gloriously conceived in eternity before He created all things out of nothing. Now, it is in this sense of His handiwork where we have the statement in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. King James said we are His workmanship. The original Greek word there, workmanship, they translated it, it is doings. We are His doings. Amen. What we are as a result of what God has done. Amen. We are His doings. We are, His design. There is no other manifestation on earth that is so impacted, so radical, so thorough as this transformation. As there is no other where there is so much propriety in ascribing it exclusively to the mighty and glorious power of the grace of God. And here we gave us some scriptures. They are in the writings there. Amen. For corroboration to that statement. Here, as we look at the terminology new creation, it depicts much more than reformation. New creation and reformation, it's not the same. Amen. Reformation of the depraved humanity has its limitations. As physical transitions are insufficient to explicate this phenomenon. I explain what has happened. Amen. Reformation is insufficient to, it falls short of explaining what God has done.
Yeah.
Amen. To say reformation, it does not come close to what is in fact the new creation. Amen. So we have two spheres here. And as we continue in our progression here, as we exegete verse 17, here we have the Greek phrase ta akri parithing. It is rendered. It is rendered. The old passed away. Here, these conveyances can be viewed as a metamorphosis, both in the spiritual sphere of the new nature, as well as its manifesting effects in the physical sphere. Note now. Amen. Got two spheres here. We got a physical phenomena and a spiritual sphere. In the latter case, that is, in the physical sphere, at best it denotes that the thinking and living associated with our former lifestyle passed away. As important as this is in the vein of its testimony, it must be internalized epistemologically, that is, knowledgeably internalized. We must come to learn this, that it basically is conveying the development of our maturing. So it is development and maturity cascading to a crescendo of one's calling. You are called to it, and thus, as you learn more, it works itself out in our conduct, in our thinking, in things that we do, and how we view things, why it doesn't represent the new creation itself. In the physical sphere, there is a testimony to the new creation. Amen. Oh, my God. Note here the Greek word parathing, rendered passed away. It is in the aorist tense. What is the aorist tense? Past completed action is denoting that which no longer exists, departed and gone. So we are what? In the spiritual sphere. Oh, yes, we are. Amen. Because there are some things that in the physical sphere, they're still evident. They're still around. Amen. And from time to time, it crops up. And this is what causes people to not know whether they're saved or not saved. Because they're looking at the wrong thing. Amen. Huh? If you look into the physical sphere, amen, and you focus on the flesh, amen, some days the flesh will give you an illusion that you are saved, but in other days the flesh will let you know that if this is what you're dependent upon, you're not saved.
Yeah.
Amen. So we don't focus on the flesh. Amen. And our priority is not in the physical sphere. In the spiritual sphere, everything associated with the natural man, such as living, working in the flesh, has ceased or passed away, and that such has died with one's relationship to Christ or in Christ. And we reference Romans 9:29 and Philippians 3:9. See, in the physical sphere, the waning of such is in proportion to one's progressive development or maturing to the image of Christ. And we will be looking at the passage there in Colossians chapter 3. But one of the subtlest yet most effective of operations of the Holy Spirit in the practical walk of the believer is one's growth and development in him. And indicative of this growth is the discipline that is exercised through the reduction of exhibiting former prejudice, former opinions, former habits,
yeah,
former unhealthy attachments,
right,
as well, and yes, I'm not through, it's selfishness,
yes,
and all the love of the world,
yes, yes,
amen, which Paul said Demas has forsaken me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He didn't mean he had backslid.
Mm-hmm.
And all the love of the world,
mm-hmm,
sensuality,
mm-hmm,
pride,
mm-hmm,
vanity,
mm-hmm,
levity,
yes,
and unspiritual ambitions.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my. I don't think any of us escaped. This progressive development is in essence the outward manifestation that a godly transformation has transpired, as we see these things begin to wane or be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
We now move, for the sake of time and for the sake of moving on into the discourse, we move to the last portion, and we conclude the last portion of this verse 17 in 2 Corinthians verse 5. Here we have the Greek phrase "ethu yegonimena," rendered "Behold, the new has and is come." As we look at the interjection of particle, and of course you gotta get into the language. If you're gonna understand what the thought conveyance is, you must utilize the grammar. Got to. If you don't, you think it's saying one thing and it's saying quite another. Amen. We're going to go through some exercises in the perfecting class this evening. Yeah, we're having perfecting class. We're going to deal with how things are perceived to have been said versus what the actual thought conveyance is. And so here, as we look into the grammar here, ethu yegonin kena, behold, the new has and is come. We note the interjection of particle ethu, behold, amen. It calls attention to the fact of the statement that follows, that look, take note. Note what? Yegonin kena, rendered the new has and is come. So here, Paul is saying, hey, something profound is happening here. Something great is happening here. Something of special interest to those who are in the spiritual sphere is taking interest here. In fact, he's a little excited about it. He says, Ethu, behold, look, amen, the new has come. Yegani, Chena, the new has come. Look, something new is on the horizon. The thought conveyance is that the old has vanished and new emerged. Here we still in the physical sphere, that which had formerly existed has now dematerialized. Amen. So we're out of the flesh now. We have transitioned into a new composition. That is a transformation from fleshly to spiritual. In this sense, note the Greek word yegamine has and is come. It is an indicative mood which factually certifies that the new creation is spiritual in essence as contrasted to physical or fleshly. Now, this involves the nature of divine regeneration, which entails righteousness, holiness, goodness, pureness, as well as all the attributes of godliness. And I don't know whether I made this statement in Bible class or whether I did it here, but we've got in this forum, but we've got to get away from our focus and our priority of things and time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As we somehow put more emphasis on what's occurring in creation and time than we put on what God has decreed, mm-hmm. and determined, yeah. and will in eternity. Mm-hmm. Because it is in eternity where the action is, where the real action is. Amen.
Amen.
There goes in the 18th century, and there was a concerted effort to move the teaching of the enactment of salvation from the eternal sphere to the sphere of time, to move it from eternity and the arena of eternity into the sphere of time and creation, and to the point where we view righteousness and holiness and goodness and greatness, we view them in the earthly, in their earthly connotations. So that's righteous, that's holy. You know what? In essence, to really get down to what righteousness is, we have not seen it yet. We have seen it in the spiritual sphere, and we do see it because there's only one description of God, Jesus Christ. No, we're not talking about the lowly Nazarene, even though he was righteous.
Yeah.
Amen. And it wasn't that he did not depict righteousness, but those who were in the flesh were not able to see it.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't able to behold it.
Mm-hmm.
Were not able to understand it. And we will never see it in its essence and be able to 100% internalize it until we ourselves are taken out of time,
yep.
and out of creation,
yes.
and we shall dwell where we have been positioned.
Amen.
And that's eternity in the body of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Now we realize what righteousness is,
amen.
And what holy, oh my God, and what holiness is. Oh my God, and what goodness is. So, as it works down into our ability to internalize it. Now, it is exemplified in one's revised comprehension of the true purpose of life and principles of all that occurs. And if you dare to dwell in the physical vein, you're going to be looked at it in the spiritual vein. If you dare to dwell in the spiritual vein, you're going to be looked at as some kind of a nut.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's off their rockers.
Yep.
You know. And most of us, you know, we're afraid to talk like that around our acquaintances, our friends, and our relatives. because we're afraid, we walk up on the scene and they go, oh my God, here it comes. So we're a little tentative about that.
Yeah.
Amen. Because we don't want to be viewed as not being stable. Mm-hmm. But to see what the world depicts as being stable is unstable. And basically, there's no stability in the world. There's nothing stable about anything that's happening in the world. There's no stability outside of the realm of the security of where Christ has placed his elect.
Yes. That's it. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
No matter what you do.
That's right. That's right.
Talking about many of the ministries fall for this. Unfortunately, there's a group that calls themselves the conservative Christians.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand it, but of course God knows they're under an illusion that if we make this country strong and get enough bombs and missiles and military aircraft and build up a strong military, we'll be secure. What nonsense! What folly! What foolishness!
Yeah.
Amen. Outside of Christ, there is no security. Outside of Christ, there is no future.
No.
It is only in Him. Can you say in Him?
In Him.
Alright. Move on. That clock is really working on me this morning. This new cogitation structures all things in perfect view of this mindset as one's understanding is consecrated to new objectives. The result of such is that the earthly body is employed in new services to God. And yes, it as we learn this, it does have its effect.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. This is why we preach it so much.
Yep.
Amen. Because we have been directed that this is the way that God will extract services out of his people.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. This is God's means and methods. Yes, he calls us to services, but this is the means by which he has chosen. Word of God. Amen. And so, the result is that we are employed in new services to God as the heart forms new attachments. Amen. Things that were so dear and near to you while they still have some meaning and importance.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. The new attachment
mm-hmm.
begin to be so brilliant and radiant it overshadows the old attachments.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And while you still may have some of them, they are as meaningful for you to you, amen, as they were. And certain faction of the ministry, they haven't caught on to that. They haven't caught on to that because they're still preaching, amen, and they are favoring the old attachments.
Mm-hmm.
New house.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you get a new house. New car. Hope you get a new car. Money in the bank. Amen. Even as much as my friend here. That's fine. That's fine. But these are old attachments their brilliance should and brightness and their glitter should fade and should begin to focus on this.
Yeah.
You've ever seen the brilliance of light comes out and it is so brilliant until it just blinds out everything else.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is what the Word of God is attempting to do.
Yeah.
Amen. If we could just get to the place we understand these things. Give me 10 minutes and I'm going to wind up this morning. I did promise to let you go early. Even if it's 2 or 3 minutes. Nothing could be more exemplarily striking of the facts of conversion than what we have conveyed here. And nothing could more clearly document the feelings of the new born soul. Amen. As you look into this, all is new. We say all is new. Oh my God. Oh, you begin, it takes you out of, I'm not floating in the clouds nowhere. My feet are flat on the ground. Amen. It takes you into an avenue of things that you never knew before.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And it gives you a new viewpoint of all things. You know why? You know why? Because you have been viewing things from the earthly platform on a horizontal plane, and now you're taking up. You're taking up. You're taking up into a sphere and a plane which gives you a bird's eye view when you're looking at this thing strictly from eternity, not based upon what's happening today. Amen. May the 30th, whatever day it is, but the eternal, everlasting, arrangement of how God has worked all things out, and I tell you, it's beautiful.
Glory to God. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah.
It's beautiful. It's wonderful.
Thank God.
It's great. All is new. All is new. And you know what? When you find yourself in this sphere, the things around you don't affect your confidence the way they did.
That's true.
When you find yourself in this vein and in this sphere of the heavenly, eternal, amen, spiritual sphere of things, guess what? Guess what? You can be broke and happy.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank God.
I mean, I'm telling you, I'm a witness. You can be sick and happy.
Yes.
I mean, you can have an ailment that's not going to go anywhere.
That's right.
You know?
Bring it out.
As I said, some people, their lives are, I've got to get things a certain way in this life, otherwise, I'm not a happy camper.
Amen.
I'm going to say, this is trying to take us out of that vein.
Amen.
You see, it's trying to move us from being influenced and our aspirations. Not any longer on those things that are in the physical vein. I'm not saying that if you're in school and you don't try to better your situation and so forth in life and these things are certainly good. Amen. But it doesn't stop there. Because suppose what? Suppose you don't get that promotion. Huh? So suppose you don't get that job.
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Amen.
Suppose if you're a businessman, you don't get that contract. Huh? Suppose you got a job and you lose that job.
Uh-huh.
Huh? Suppose, whatever is going down, amen, you know that the thing that matters the most to you, it cannot move, it cannot be shaken, because it is tied to the immutable will and the decree of God.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give me 5 minutes. I said I was going to bail out. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. I was ailing this morning, but I feel pretty good.
Amen.
Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. In the expression of the new life, there are new views of God, new views of the world, and certainly that world entails the world to come. New views of what truth is, and new views of what your vocation is. Amen. Most of us think it's our job. Your vocation is your main function. Amen. And I asked you this morning, what is your main function? Is your main function your profession? Your job. And this is strange how we get all caught up in professions and jobs, and that thing can just like that. Just like a whisper, a vapor, boom, it's gone. And then when that happens to some, they think life is over because this is what they have viewed life to be. But new means every aspect of our existence is seen in a new light. Now, this is especially exhilarating to an informed convert. Informed. I like to underline that word, informed. This is what, while we focus and we prioritize information. Information. Yes, preaching is about information.
Definitely.
Preaching is not about entertainment.
Come on here.
It's about, about information.
Yeah.
And preaching is not so much about motivating you by sacking you out.
Yeah.
Amen. And dangling something in front of you that's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
But an informed convert is one that receives the true revelation of the Word of God. An informed convert. One who is informed. The informed elect. One who receives, true revelation of the conveyances of what the Word of God is expressing. In these instances, 3 more minutes. The Bible seems to be a new book, even though you've read it many times. And though one may have often read it before, yet it had not been adequately perceived.
Right.
It's one thing to read it, it's another thing to perceive it.
Yeah.
This is why, perception comes by analysis. So the Bible cannot just be read like a novel, it has to be studied. Because when you're reading, you're just taking face value what you think it is saying. Amen. And you're dependent upon your human intellect to give you the comprehension. And human intellect cannot give you the true comprehension. Because you see, that may be true in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, that which is spirit has to be conveyed spirit to spirit. And only amen. Only the Spirit of God knows what God is conveying, and He, the Holy Spirit, conveys it to your spirit. So it goes from spirit to spirit. So you got to, it has to be analyzed. It has to be studied. We got to study the Word. Yes, that's not a dirty word. Study. Study, analyze, work. Yeah, I said the word work. Work. Hard work.
Glory.
It's hard work. Study your Bible is hard work. God didn't design it to be easy.
No,
it
shouldn't. Praise Jesus. Amen.
I let this sink in a second. I still got 2 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, as I close, with this knowledge in hand, the entire face of existence is renovated in one's mind as the total work of God and His glory is exhibited in one's spirit. Even in this earthly sphere, as we view things, it is not from the earthly sphere, it is from the heavenly sphere, and from the heavenly sphere, you get to, in the heavenly vantage point, you get the heavenly view.
Amen.
And the heavenly view
Glory.
Is filled with new wonders, as all things now show forth the praise of the glory of God. Even the very countenance of life encounters engenders renewed faith and hope, as those things that are temporarily seen, they are overshadowed by the eternal unseen. Amen. The eternal unseen. The eternal unseen. As it overshadows. Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Oh my God.
Hallelujah.
The eternal. Can you say eternal?
Eternal.
Everlasting. Can you say everlasting?
Everlasting.
Spiritual. Can you say spiritual?
Spiritual.
Oh my God. These are the things that we shall dwell upon, we shall measure in, and we shall hold to be dear. These are the blessings. Yes, the true, the spiritual blessings of God. Give the Lord a hand, praise.
Yes. Thank you.